mayors across the nation, especially Democratic mayors, are expressing outrage that they've just discovered some of the children are being held in their cities. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
I'm shocked to have learned here today there are now 239 children right here. The youngest to come here, they told us, was 9 months old. How is it possible that none of us knew there were 239 kids right here in our own city?
Many Texas Gulf Coast communities are underwater after over a foot of rainfalls over the past few days. Meteorologists predict the rain should subside sometime late tomorrow. The Labor Department says 218,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment last week, 3,000 fewer than the week before, and a little below what analysts were predicting. And this is USA Radio News.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
A billboard in Texas getting some national attention because of the message it bears. For one group in particular, liberals. The message is essentially keep driving. The billboard was set up in the panhandle and reads, quote, "Liberals, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas." The location of the billboard, about 35 miles from the border with New Mexico. NASA has a new plan for addressing the risk posed by asteroids. It sounds like something out of the movies.
This new one you're tracking, how big?
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
But NASA does say in a report it is stepping up efforts to learn how to deflect asteroids if they ever did threaten the planet. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy releasing a report called the National Near-Earth Object Preparedness Strategy and Action Plan, which outlined steps NASA and FEMA would take to prevent huge asteroids from hitting the Earth and to prepare the U.S. for the potential consequences of an asteroid impact if it does happen. But a NASA official does say, besides enhancing the hunt for dangerous asteroids so we see them well ahead of time, it will also mean stepped up efforts into learning how to deflect them. Though unlike in the movies, it probably wouldn't involve the use of astronauts.
Just hold on!
Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how to protect your business with patents, trademarks, and copyrights. I'll have a guide to branding for small business owners. It's not just for large corporations anymore. And I'll have 6 ways your business can compete like an online giant. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2018. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we always check the weather. It's currently 76 degrees under cloudy skies, and for today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 87 and a low of 61. For tomorrow, it's going to be cloudy with showers moving in the evening, a high of 71 and a low of 60. For Saturday, we're going to have thunderstorms throughout the day and evening with a high of 77 and a low of 65. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly warmer and sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 64. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 119.67 to 24,538.13. The NASDAQ down 23.89 to 7,757.61. S&P 500 is down 8.20 to 2759.12. Oil down 20 cents to $65.51 per barrel. And gold is down $4.60 to $1,269.90 an ounce. All right, well, good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday. It is June 21st. God, this day feels so long. Oh, yeah, it is the longest day of the year. It is the first day of summer, and so summer is officially upon us, despite what you thought was happening on Monday with that heat wave. It's here, so summer's here. Get out and enjoy it, and, you know, not a bad start. You know, we're kind of easing into it. With 76, mid-70 temperatures today, but over the next couple of days, temperatures will start to rise. The heat and humidity will return, and, you know, we'll be in the throes of summer. If you are currently listening, chances are you're listening on Facebook with our live stream, and we want to thank you for that. And then also, we'd also encourage you to like the Taking Care of Business page. That is on Facebook now so that you can follow along every week. Don't forget, you can also check out the archive page where you can get updates on any shows that are coming up. And also, so like and follow that page because as things happen during the week, I'm also going to be posting if something breaks that's going to affect news, you're going to find it there first. So make sure that that's where you're connected to us with. Apologize for the dark resolution that is happening on the Facebook feed right now. We'll work on that during the break. Every week at this time, we bring you the business quote of the week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. We go with everything from celebrities to business people to politicians, something that is motivational and inspirational to help you in your business. That's what we're going to bring to you when we talk about our business quote of the week. This week it comes to us from Tillman J. Fertitta. Tillman is the star of Billion Dollar Buyer on CNBC. He's the owner of the Golden Nugget Casinos, Morton Steakhouse, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, and McCormick and Schmick's, among many other business entities that he owns. But I like what he says here in the business quote of the week. He says, "Don't ever let your business get ahead of the financial side of your business. Accounting, accounting, accounting. Know your numbers." That comes to us from Tillman Fertitta, who is the star of Billion Dollar Buyer on CNBC. I've said this a million times when I talk to businesses, when they call me for help or advice. Know your numbers. You have to know everything about your business, and everything boils down to numbers. So knowing those numbers. And a lot of people always are more concerned with their sales numbers. They always talk about, well, last year I did $500,000 in sales. Last year I did $3 million in sales. And when I interviewed Mike Michalowicz a few weeks ago, the author of Profit First, he said, "I don't care how much you make. I care how much you take." Meaning, you could do $3 million in sales, but if you only get paid for $1.5 million, what are you doing? So again, it's not how big you are. It's knowing your numbers. And in sales, if you're selling a product, and that could be, you know, anything from clothing to jewelry to trophies to you name it, even selling baked goods, knowing your numbers is so important, because if you're selling at a certain height but your expenses exceed your sell price, you're out of business very quickly. So you want to make sure that your numbers match. Knowing your numbers in sales, I always say you want to look at your historical numbers, and that would be, how did we do in the same period last year? So if you want to compare month to month, some people compare week to week, some people compare day to day. Between the 2 years, that's fine, but know where you stand. And if you start to see a downward trend, all of a sudden sales are starting to slip, then you have to figure out, where are you going to increase your sales from? Is it going to be going after old business, going after new business? How will you get more business coming through your front door? So again, The business quote of the week: don't ever let your business get ahead of the financial side of your business. Accounting, accounting, accounting. Know your numbers. And Tillman says that quite often on the show, Billion Dollar Buyer, because it's very important. But it's amazing when you watch shows like Tillman's and you watch Marcus Lemonis on CNBC's The Profit, when they ask a business owner about the money side of their business, very often they don't know. They just know what sales are coming in, but they don't know what expenses are going out. And we talked about that with Mike Michalowicz when we interviewed him for Profit First. And, you know, I think that was very eye-opening and gotten a lot of great feedback. A lot of the Crown Trophy stores have called me. A lot of other businesses have called me and said, I think I'm interested in Profit First. What do I do? And I said, well, start by buying the book, and then if you have any questions about the plan and the five fundamental accounts, we can take it from there. I can tell you that in just 2.5 months of doing this, the Profit First method, and going from, you know, money coming in to money going out to now reserving money ahead, my business is in the best financial position it's ever been, and very happy with that. Let's talk about let's see. I wanted to do something that's going to take just a little bit more time. They're all going to take a little bit of time today. Wow. I apologize for the delay here. All long stories today. So, where are we at? 12:12. Let's go and do the break early, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how to protect your business with patents, trademarks, and copyrights. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me this afternoon as we get together every week at this time to discuss issues affecting business. Now, this show is all for you. It's not, you know, for me. But so if you have topics that you want to talk about, you want me to research and bring to the program, by all means, let me know what they are. You can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Hit me up on Facebook, on our page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, Twitter, LinkedIn, any way you can to get a hold of me. And if there's something that's bugging you about running your business, let me know what that is, and then we'll bring those topics to the table. So one of the topics that is getting a little traction lately is the issue of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, and particularly copyrights as it pertains to things that you create, things that you write that you don't necessarily want anybody to be able to just take and use for their own use. When I write books, for instance, I always get that copyright. And there's two forms of a copyright, and we'll get into that in a minute. The first is what we call the poor man's copyright, and the second one is the formal filing. So the formal filing goes through the U.S. Copyright Office. Takes about 3 to 6 months to actually get your official copyright. But the poor man's copyright, and the one that can give you the most protection early on, is very simply when you have something written, designed, and you want to have copyright rights apply to it. The poor man's copyright would be for you to mail yourself a copy of that. Never open it. Just write on the envelope your name, your address, your all of that information, and then maybe somewhere else in the envelope write T-shirt design or logo design, and maybe for your client. And then mail it to yourself. Don't open it, but save those envelopes because it'll have a date stamp on it from the United States Postal Service. So let's say you do this in February and it says, you know, February 15th, and it has your client name on it or the information, with not too much. You don't want to give away the store. Keep that in a file. A year from now, if you find somebody else is printing that same T-shirt design and they don't have the rights to it, you can go back and say, this is when I started using, this is when I designed it, this is when I used it, I filed for the copyright, it took 6 months, but at least you have some form of protections, because date stamping is perhaps the most important thing you can do, because who had it first is going to be most important. Years ago, I created a slogan for my store, Crown Trophy of Flemington, that says, we're trophies and a whole lot more. And over the coming years, other stores started to adopt that. And a couple of years ago, a woman came to me and she showed me, I think it was a poker chip, and she said, look, and it's got the slogan, we're trophies and a whole lot more. I said, well, now that's copyright infringement because you took my slogan and you used it without my permission. She goes, no, we've been using it for years. I go, guess what? I've been using it since 2 months after I opened in 2009. She goes, oh, well, we haven't been using it that long. I said, so if you'd like to pay me to use that, you can do that. So I didn't charge her. We're still friends. But the point is, you have to have that level of protection, for particularly if it's something that you own or it's your intellectual property. So companies that develop new products or intangible creations need to evaluate whether they should legally protect that intellectual property. Now, when the owners of Modlik Monument Company hired a company to develop software to help them manage orders and operations, they never imagined that the intellectual property created would eventually lead to another revenue stream for the 82-year-old family business. The software, once perfected and implemented, became so successful, cutting the processing time of orders by nearly 50%, that other companies in their field asked to buy it. It was developed to keep us organized and efficient, said Jonathan Modlik, the vice president of the company. We realized it could benefit others in our industry, so we created a little side company. Suddenly, the company that performs the century-old function of making monuments found itself operating in the cutting-edge technology world, looking for ways to protect the software that it created. Now, companies that develop intellectual property, defined as work or an invention that is the result of creativity, have several avenues to protect it, including a patent, a copyright, or a trademark. The Monument Company's legal team and business advisors were instrumental in launching MB Pro Build, the trademark name for the software and the company that sells it, Modlik said. Because their contract with the software developer, which the family had a personal connection to, was, quote, work for hire, they are able to sell the computer program, he said. On the advice of their legal team, they patented the name and require customers to buy licensing agreements to use it. Natalie Monaco's path to protecting her idea and launching a business around it was quite different. Monaco invented a comforter that stays in place to avoid cover stealing and simplify bed making. She secured a patent for the cover-made design and trademarked the name. She sought a patent before pitching her idea to would-be retailers, something she believes helped get their attention. Having a patent, even earlier on, While in patent pending status was very helpful, she said. When I first approached manufacturers and the buyers we work with today, such as Brookstone and Bed Bath & Beyond, I believe having an issued patent gave the CoverMade a lot of credibility. Companies that are developing products, software, or other intangible creations of human intellect need to carefully evaluate whether they should take actions to legally protect them. ROI should be one of the key determinants, said Vincent G. Latempio, a patent attorney with Kloss, Stenger & Latempio in Buffalo, New York. If you make $1 million and spend $10,000 protecting your idea, that's not much money, he said. However, if you spend $10,000 and make no money, it may as well have been $1 million that you spent. Companies usually need to make individualized decisions based on their particular circumstances. There's not one big piece of advice to convey, he says. It's all part of the whole journey, and there's no one good roadmap. Some key considerations along the way are making sure that you have written agreements with employees outlining who owns the rights to their work product, having procedures in place to seek patents when necessary in order to meet the deadlines associated with the process, and being aware of what other companies are operating in the field and what patents they hold. It also pays to be cautious when sharing the idea, said Wayne Fromm of Frommworks, who has invented products for Disney and Nestle, among others. At the start of a project, he only shares the idea with a few trusted people. If he has come up with a good, catchy name, he trademarks it right away. When he has a prototype made, he outsources the parts to multiple companies so no one else has all the pieces of the product. He also requires people assisting him to sign non-disclosure agreements. You have to be paranoid all the time in order to protect your intellectual property. Now, let's talk about some important definitions as we talk about this. First of all, intellectual property is a work or an invention that is the result of creativity, such as a manuscript or a design, to which one has rights and for which one may apply for a patent, copyright, or trademark. A trademark is a symbol, word, or words legally registered or established by use as representing a company or a product. A copyright is the exclusive legal right given to an originator or an assignee to print, publish, perform, film, or record literary, artistic, or musical material and to authorize others to do the same. And a patent is a government authority or license conferring a right of title for a set period, usually 7 years, especially the sole right to exclude others from making, suing, or selling an invention. Great story on this, and how what's so important is there was a gentleman back around the time of either World War II or the Korean War, and he was a mechanic in the Army, and he invented a device that is probably in every garage toolbox everywhere called the socket wrench. And what was unique about his was that it was reversible and that it had a push-out button where you could release the socket quickly. So he invented this. He brings it up to Sears Craftsman, and he pitches it. And he says, look, this is my invention, and this is what I've done, and I'd like to sell it to Sears to be part of their Craftsman product line. Well, lo and behold, Sears says, nah, we don't think this is going to work, and they take a pass. And just as the one part of the story where the gentleman farms out different pieces of the product to different vendors so nobody has the whole, this gentleman left with his prototype, but in the meantime, Sears knew everything about it. And about 6 months later, they came out with, you guessed it, the socket wrench. And this gentleman saw it in the store, realized that it was his product, and it was the one that, the exact same thing that he had pitched to Sears, and sued them and won several $1 million. But that's the reason why you want to protect yourself early. If you're sitting there developing something in your garage, and all of a sudden you see other people taking it off and making money off of it, you're entitled to a share of those proceeds. So make sure you are protecting both yourself and your product. All right. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. Another topic that's come up lately is branding. And a lot of local business owners, small business owners, don't believe that they are a brand. You know, when they think of a brand, they think of McDonald's, they think of Xerox, they think of IBM. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what you do, your company is in itself its own brand, whether you're part of a franchise or whether you're part of whether you're just a standalone business. But everything you do, once you put your name out there and you're selling products, you're a brand. And that's why I always say, your image of the company, your image of the brand is so important, you know, and it has to be protected. You have to make sure that your employees are honoring it. You have to make sure that if there's negative reviews on Yelp and elsewhere, that you defend it. But branding is, or branding your own business, branding of yourself, your personal brand, cannot be ignored. It's something that's very important, and I think that a lot of people take it for granted. They think, oh, I just own a small business. You know, I sell gelato. I don't care what you do. That's your brand, so protect it. So if you think that brands are only important for big corporations, you need to think again, because your brand is the foundation that sets your small business apart from its competitors. Now, when somebody says your brand is important, some small business owners may dismiss that as something that's reserved for medium or large-sized businesses, and it can't be further from the truth. Everything starts with your brand. For a baker, a brand is like your flour. It's the foundation of everything that you create. It's important for small businesses, especially those in commoditized industries, to develop a brand that sets them apart from their competition. But let's slow down and take a step back. What exactly is a brand? Now, a brand is not your company's name or logo. These are just ways to identify your business. A brand is also not your tagline or your slogan, but we're getting closer. Taglines and slogans are great ways to distill a brand into a word or short phrase to share with your audience to explain who you are. Now, there's no doubt that these are three of the most important touch points or ways to communicate your brand, but they're not your brand. So what is a brand? A brand is a unique message about who you are and what you stand for. It's what people think of when they think about your company. Aha. It's what people think about when they think about your company. So if you're ABC Bakery, when I think about the ABC Bakery, am I thinking quality? Am I thinking fresh? Am I thinking delicious? Or am I thinking it's dirty, they haven't mopped the floor in weeks, I think I saw a cockroach? That's your brand. So make sure that everything that is regarding your brand is always at 100%. It's what people think of when they think about your company. For example, what comes to mind when you think of Jimmy John's? Now, if you said fast service, good job. You're right. That's how they differentiate themselves from competitors like Quiznos, Subway, and dozens of other sandwich shops. They're freaky fast. The same idea applies to small businesses. So think about a leading local business like a mechanic, a realtor, or insurance provider, and what comes to mind when you think of them? Honesty, reliability, expertise, quick service. They're doing something that makes them stand out in a competitive industry. Now, what's a brand need? All great brands need three key ingredients. Write these down, because everything you do, if you're in a business, you are a brand. You need to be have authenticity. You need to be unique and simplified. All right, let's try that again. You need to be unique, authentic, and simplicity. Now, let's start with authenticity. Your brand has to be true and has to be real. It's too hard to be fake, and your customers and potential customers don't want to deal with someone who's fake. So let's identify your core values, what you do great, and the main benefits that you provide for your clients. Uniqueness is the most important piece. This is where you position your brand differently than your competitors. Look for common themes that other businesses in your area use to promote yourselves and then to promote themselves, and then do the opposite. As for simplicity, people are hit with 10,000 messages each day. And that's come from the American Marketing Association. That's a lot of messaging. So if your brand's message is too complex, people won't remember it, or they won't know why they should pick your business over another. Using the above criteria as your guide, let's talk about how to create a brand for your small business. There are five steps to building a brand. First, you want to analyze. You want to take a temperature check and think about your goals. What are you putting out there now? What message do your competitors use? And you want to avoid using the same thing as them. What do you want to accomplish with your brand? You want to do some research. Ask yourself a lot of questions. What are my values? Why did I start this business? What makes me different than my competitors? Why do customers choose my business? What do I want people to feel after buying or using my product, and so forth? And that is not an all-inclusive list. Don't stop there. Ask your suppliers why they work with you. Ask your employees why they come to work. Ask your customers why they keep coming back. Ask your old customers why they stop buying. Be honest and dig deep. Define is the next step. Now the research is done, so let's take a step back and look at everything you've learned and find the common themes, trends, words, values, or stories that came up over and over again. These trends are likely the most important and interesting parts of your business. So choose the ones that are the most relevant to share and be different than your competitors. But don't force it. You have to buy into the definition and feel comfortable sharing it, or the rest of this process is much harder. This will form your core brand message. One way to do this is to start with a sentence that describes your brand, then cut it down to a phrase, and then down to 1 to 3 words. It's tough, but focus on what means the most to you. Then develop. Using that definition as your guide, fill out the rest of your brand blueprint. Your brand blueprint is a document that includes stories, ways to talk about the brand, key messages, and a brand history or an about me paragraph or three. And your blueprint should delve into the company's history and why the brand is what it is. And we'll get more on this in a bit. And then finally, launch. Now you have everything in place and are ready to start sharing your brand with your current clientele and leveraging it to find new audiences. You've done the groundwork, and every interaction is a chance to push it forward or backward. So share the key messages with your staff so they know them well and can live them out daily. Continue to monitor what's being said and done to promote your brand needs to keep it relevant and growing. There are plenty of ways to launch a brand, but a few popular ways are with an event, an ad campaign, or a creative refresh, updating your website, storefront, and digital presence. How do you create a framework around your brand? We're going to find that out when we come back after this break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to cost you more to shop online soon, as the High Court has ruled this morning that states can collect sales taxes from internet retailers. The ruling covering retailers who do not currently charge sales tax to customers. The High Court changing long-standing rules that said states could not collect taxes from retailers who don't have a physical presence in that state. The ruling to change things was 5-4. The U.S. House expected to take votes on Republican-led immigration bills today. One, a compromise between House conservatives and moderate Republicans. The second, a conservative bill. Neither appear to have the votes needed to pass, and if they do, their futures in the Senate are uncertain. First-time jobless claims were down a bit last week, and this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy and Crown Custom Apparel out here in Flemington, New Jersey. And feel free to stop by anytime and say hi and take a look at what's going on, what's new with us. And so glad that busy season is over. 3 weeks of 18-hour days will surely put a dent in your physical stamina. It was a rough one, but glad we got through it. One of our best busy seasons ever. So we're talking about branding a small business. And I mentioned that there were 5 steps to building a brand: analyzing, researching, defining, developing, and launching. Now the question is, how do you develop a framework around your brand? So using the brand message as your guide, you want to fill out the rest of your brand blueprint. And your brand blueprint is a document that can include the following: your brand statement. Now, as mentioned earlier, one to three words that communicate who you are and what you stand for in the simplest way possible. What are your values, the foundations by which you run your company? What is your mission, your company's reason for being, what you strive to do every day? What is your vision, your long-term outlook, the legacy that you want to leave behind? A tagline or a slogan, short, easy-to-remember phrase or promise that hammers home the core message of your brand. This can be used on signage, marketing materials, social media, ads, and anywhere you like. Make sure it's tied to your brand and not just catchy or rhythmic for no reason. Also, allowing for key stories. Three or four stories that you can tell consistently that bring your brand to life. They could be about customer success, employees, the founding of your company, or any number of topics. A brand voice. How do you want to sound when talking about your business? Do you want to be informative, funny, helpful, educational, strict, kind, etc.? Figure out what the voice of your company is. Storytellers. Those who can tell those stories about your brand. Maybe it's you, maybe it's a co-owner, an employee, a vendor, or a customer. Everybody should be able to tell and recite your story as if it's their own. The brand history, like an About Us paragraph or three that goes beyond the we sell widgets and into the fabric that makes up your business, the why behind the what and the things that set you apart. Now you have the what, the why, and the how behind your brand all in one place. This is your brand blueprint, and there's no marketing challenge you can't solve without that foundation. But you can write blogs, social media posts, user guides, literally anything. You can also communicate what you're all about and what makes you different to your employees and ideal clients. Then you have to put it into action. Now, a company has dozens of touch points, times where a client or a potential client comes into contact with your company. These are when and how you communicate your brand. An example would be digital assets like videos, websites, social media, blogs, your staff, especially those that are customer-facing. Traditional media that convey your company, your actual physical location, uniforms or dress codes of what you and your staff wear, how you answer the phone, paid advertisements on any channel, whether it's TV, print, outdoor, or online, surveys, and follow-up communications. Again, everything that identifies your company, whether it's signage, your vehicles, the clothing that you wear, notice here, and that of your employees is part of your brand image. And that's why I always say the image is always most important. And I beat this home with new employees. When you're representing this company, you've got to forget anything else. You represent this company. You don't drink and drive. I don't want you smoking, as silly as that sounds. I don't want you smoking in our uniform. I don't want you going to bars, hanging out, you know, on company time. You represent the brand. If you want to take off our shirt and put on a t-shirt of a competitor, have at it. Just don't do it on my dime. Each of these is an opportunity for clients and potential clients to think something about your brand. Think of your brand as a bank account. Each interaction or impression can be a deposit or a withdrawal. Brands and bank accounts rarely get massive with one deposit, but rather they grow over time by dozens and hundreds of deposits. Little by little, you will build goodwill for your brand and you will stay on message. Branding isn't just for big businesses with huge budgets. The fundamentals of a brand can be developed on any budget. A strong brand sets the foundation for your business and guides all your communication and marketing. It helps you separate yourself from competitors and give your desired customers a reason to pick your business. Small businesses can follow this plan, too, to create an authentic, unique, and simple brand for themselves and start making a name for themselves or keep a good thing going consistently. So I don't know how to impress upon you that, and I don't want people to minimize who they are. I don't care whether you're running a bookstore, whether you're just selling, you know, craft products. That's your brand. So make sure that you're treating it just as if you were the CEO of McDonald's. It's your brand, so make sure that you're putting it out there the best way possible. All right. Another question that I got recently was, I fear that my business won't be in business in 5 years because everything's going online. Yes and no. You know, when an online company makes a mistake, now there's a return. There's, you know, back and forth. And versus coming back to the store, replacing the item immediately, fixing any mistakes, things like that. We heard in the newscast that it looks as if online retailers will now have to pay state sales tax. And when that starts, some of those businesses are going to suffer a little bit. and some may close. I don't think it's necessarily going to close down in Amazon, but others will be forced out because the luxury of selling online right now with no taxes has been very appealing to a lot of businesses. So how can you compete like an online giant when you're just a small mom-and-pop shop? Now, you may not have the extensive resources that big retail chains do, but you can still take advantage of the options available to make the most of your customer service. As online retail giants transform the shopping experience and consumer expectations, small and medium-sized businesses are playing by a new set of rules. They're borrowing from the retail giant playbook to compete and win against their competitors. They're acclimating to the new business environment with technology and automation and by meeting customer demands for high-quality service, a wider product selection, and near-immediate shipping. Now, if you want to follow their lead, consider these six ways that your SMB can come out on top in the digital age. One, price every product with purpose. Companies that are still using pricing strategies from 5 to 10 years ago may find it difficult to compete with competitors who have embraced modern technology. This is due in large part to the outdated techniques that many SMBs use to set prices, relying on, for example, historical data and gut feel. Science and data can deliver far superior results, particularly when you're dealing with several hundred thousand product SKUs. One example of a modern pricing strategy big online retailers use is dynamic pricing, which allows businesses to adjust product prices based on demand. In high and low seasons, prices automatically rise and fall. The key to successful dynamic pricing is speed. Now, unlike peak versus off-peak pricing models, dynamic pricing occurs 365 days a year. To utilize this method, businesses rely on technology, science, and data, creating a perfect harmony of data-driven decision-making and automation. Consider automating your pricing strategy, which can reduce the amount of time spent calculating pricing, making your pricing more accurate, and empower your business to use data to make better informed decisions. Modern automation tools can analyze a variety of data points, such as customer preferences and trends, overall product preferences, and patterns and seasonality, which were often overlooked or too difficult to obtain before automation became easily accessible. Years ago, there was a book written by Dr. Robert Kreider, who said, if it ain't broke, the title of the book was, if it ain't broke, break it. And the gist of the book was that if you're still doing business the same way you did it 3 years ago, your competition is running circles around you. And the example I gave was the lumberyard or the deli that would write down your order on a paper bag and then, you know, get it all pulled together and deliver it. You had to get computer automated. You had to get a POS system in the deli. And what's happened, and this book was written 25, 30 years ago, it's probably never more applicable than it is today. You literally can't do business the same way you did it 3 years ago. You have to constantly be adapting and evolving in order to be the best in your industry. And to do that, you also need to offer a wider range of products. Today's consumers expect options. And of those visiting a store with an intent to buy a product, some customers may leave without making a purchase because of a particular size, style, color, or model isn't available. SMBs can borrow a page from the large online retailers to successfully anticipate customer wants by stocking additional non-competing or related products. Retail giants have set the bar high by offering an endless quantity of products in each category they sell. To succeed in expanding product availability, SMBs need to select additional products based on the trends of their customers. And this is where customer data can serve as a guide. Offering a wider selection also requires a mechanism to store, track, and manage large lists of products and their descriptions. Depending on the industry, it may be more effective to not stock new products at all. Business owners can instead work closely with a handful of dropship suppliers to provide a wider array of products from other suppliers with lower overhead. But managing multiple warehouses and vendors, as well as the movement of data between them, can easily become costly and error-prone if done incorrectly. Automating these processes can give your company the best of both worlds: a world-class selection of desirable products in all shapes, colors, and sizes, and a fulfillment process that works. Don't overlook the return process. Customer experience needs to be consistent across all channels: websites, social media, storefronts, online marketplaces, and any other channel your company sells or markets through. Customers expect the same high-quality service in every interaction with your company, regardless of channel, including the return experience. According to the 2017 Holiday Shopping Behavior Survey by the National Retail Foundation, the NRF, which polled 2,040 customers, 64% of shoppers who have issues with returns would be hesitant to shop at that retailer again. You also want to anticipate your customers' needs. Now, for an SMB, agility means being able to move quickly and anticipate your customers' needs. But it also means being able to understand the factors driving customer satisfaction. Consider shipping, for example. Online retailers have taught consumers to expect free express delivery on many of their orders. But SMBs don't have to deliver that same shipping experience in order to satisfy their customers. In fact, customers may be more interested in free shipping than fast shipping, and big businesses are already using this to their advantage. Many online retailers now offer free two-day shipping instead of free two-day delivery. If the item is out of stock or back-ordered, it can take up to 4 or 5 days for delivery, but because shipping is free, their customers are happy. And post-sale communication is also important to creating happy customers. Delivery of communication is a part of predicting your customers' needs. Think about your post-sale customer communication process. Are you following up after the sale? And finally, you can reach customers globally. Take a page from online retailers, and global is the new local. In order to compete in today's digital era, SMBs must look beyond local and regional markets. Until recently, selling globally was only something large companies could do due to limited access to newer technology and the resources required to expand abroad. However, newly accessible global markets are opening up, and there are lower barriers to entry thanks to the advancements in technology. Every business should consider operating across multiple channels to have a global reach. And finally, enable seamless operation with partner companies. To act more like a retail giant, many SMBs are turning to a network of vendors, suppliers, manufacturers, and distributors that combine forces to compete in the marketplace. And this requires your network to be able to operate seamlessly. Automation can make this a reality, so consider automating daily transactions and tasks like verifying orders, processing, ordering, and recording, receiving, and sending payments. If a process is repeated, it should be automated. So there's a couple of ideas on how you can improve your business and and compete with the online giants. And, you know, I think every business at some point is going to face that, you know, four-headed dragon that that there is an online competitor out there, and as such, they need to be able to compete with them. Whether they want to jump into the fray and get online or beat them in customer service and price remains to be seen. But definitely, I would review that as a part of your business strategy moving forward in the next 1, 3, or 5 years. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntedInChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntedInChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening. right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we wind up the program today. A couple of programming notes. Coming up in about 4 weeks, we're going to have Ed Westling in from Westling's Karate Studio to talk about programs for kids and adults. And I'll have more details on that coming up. And then in June, the week of the 12th, or the week of the 8th, there will be no program. We'll do a repeat of the Mike McCallowitz show interview as I'll be down in Savannah for the Crown Trophy annual reunion / franchise meeting. And then at the end of July and into August, probably missing two shows as I head out on a trip to Alaska, getting together with some friends tonight to plan all of our excursions on a river cruise. Looking forward to that. Can't wait to see that part of the country. Another question that came in earlier this week was a person who had listened to the interview with Mike McCallowitz and said they're going to implement the program. They love everything that they said. They already bought the book. They've already read a good portion of it. But they find themselves, they feel behind the eight ball, behind a rock, if you will, in that they have massive debt. And, you know, it's hard for them to buy materials and to, you know, meet payroll, things like that. So they're talking about getting a business line of credit. Now, here's seven things you need to know about a business line of credit. And first of all, a business line of credit is one way that you can borrow money to grow your business, but you may want to consider some important facts before you make use of this financial tool. Does your business have a temporary cash flow problem? Do you want to pursue a time-sensitive revenue-generating opportunity? Opening a business line of credit may give you a little extra cash to draw from when the need arises. One of the top advantages of a business line of credit is that it can help ease the payment of interest charges on the money that you borrow. That's because you don't pay interest charges until you need to use the money. So let's say your business line of credit is for $50,000, but you only draw $20,000 to buy new equipment. You would pay interest only on the $20,000 that you borrowed, even though the other $30,000 is at your disposal should you need to draw it later. If you decide to take advantage of a business line of credit, it pays to know a few facts, and the following may help you avoid potential problems down the line. First, know the difference between a secured and an unsecured line of credit. You have the option of choosing a secured or unsecured line of credit. A secured line means that the amount you borrow is secured through assets that belong to your company. In the event of a payment default, the lender assumes the ownership of those assets. With an unsecured line of credit, on the other hand, there are no specified assets required as collateral against the funds you borrow. With lines of credit, one size does not fit all, so do your homework to avoid any surprises. One advantage of a secured business line of credit is that you may qualify for access to a larger sum of money because the line of credit is backed by your assets. The interest rate can also be lower. On the other hand, one of the advantages of an unsecured business line is that you can have access to the funds faster. That's because the application process is usually simpler, but you're likely to pay higher interest rates. Pay attention to potential fees. In addition to your interest charges and the repayment of withdrawals, you're also likely to be charged transaction fees every time you borrow from your line of credit. If you access your business line of credit several times during the year, these fees can add up. Depending on your lending institution, you may also be charged a maintenance fee for your account, even if you don't use it. So check out all the fine print before of related fees before being caught off guard. Be aware of potential bank drawdowns on an existing business line of credit. During times of economic uncertainty, the lending institution might demand that you pay back the balance on your line of credit at their discretion. So be aware of this particular provision if it's a part of your agreement with the lending institution. Explore and research the research developed by the Economist Intelligence Unit, and that's also available to you. Be prepared for interest rate variability. Typically, the interest rate on a line of credit is variable. It's based on a percentage above or below the prime lending rate. If interest rates increase, you may find it difficult to pay back your line of credit. With the relative ease of borrowing money through a line of credit, you may find that you're exercising less control in your spending. And with interest rate increases, this could result in financial hardship as your debt increases. You also want to look into insuring your business line of credit. you might want to look into the possibility of buying insurance to cover a business line of credit. Insurance can help you cover outstanding payments on your business line in the event of critical illness, injury, or death. Depending on the size of your line of credit, this could be vital protection for you and key members of your company. You want to know the criteria for evaluating the best line of credit. With the wide array of lending institutions offering a business line of credit, it could be difficult to choose the right option. Interest rates vary from lender to lender, so you may want to focus on this aspect as one of the primary considerations. Next, look at what the borrowing limits are to make sure that there's sufficient credit to meet your future needs. And you may also want to evaluate the repayment terms to ensure that they fit your requirements. Repayment terms vary greatly, ranging from weekly to monthly repayments. With lines of credit, one size does not fit all, so do your homework to avoid surprises. And consider the help available from the Small Business Administration. The SBA offers a plan that's designed to help small business owners obtain a line of credit. And while they don't lend you money directly, their program can make it easier for you to access capital. One way that this is done through their lender match program, which matches you with lenders that express interest in lending you money. And this can make the whole process of obtaining a line of credit that much easier. So a couple thoughts there on lines of credit. It is a good way if you have need, but when you get to the point where this woman is, where she's looking for alternate sources of income, she is working with the profit first method. I would caution you first that before you add more debt to the pile, that you figure out your costs versus your sell of your goods and make sure that they're in line, that you have the right margins so that you're not pretty much selling flat, and making sure that the business is viable enough and it's worth actually, you know, investing more in. Sometimes it's a good time to look at your business and say, I gave it a good run, but, you know, this just isn't it. Most businesses, I believe, are worth saving. So if you want to go this route, just understand the pitfalls that may come with it. In sports, in NASCAR news, the teams are headed to California this weekend for the first road course race of the year. Yes, NASCAR drivers can turn right, too. That race will be Sunday at 3 p.m. for the Toyota Save Mart 300. In Major League Baseball, the 2018 Major League Baseball regular season is underway. The Yankees, Indians, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Diamondbacks lead their division in the National. In soccer, the World Cup continues. And as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB. HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's going to cost you more to shop online soon, as the High Court has ruled this morning that states can collect sales taxes from internet retailers. The ruling covering retailers who do not currently charge sales tax to customers. The High Court changing long-standing rules that said states could not collect taxes from retailers who don't have a physical presence in that state. The ruling to change things was 5-4. The U.S. House expected to take votes on Republican-led immigration bills today. One, a compromise between House conservatives and moderate Republicans. The second, a conservative bill. Neither appear to have the votes needed to pass, and if they do, their futures in the Senate are uncertain. First-time jobless claims were down a bit last week, and this is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime